Hi, I'm Karen Payne from Paper Pages Bookstore, and this is Chapter 38 of the Oki Bookcast.
Welcome to Chapter 38 of the Oki Bookcast. I'm Jay Hall, and I'm committed to connecting curious readers like you with your next great read by introducing you to Oklahoma authors and stories. And I've got a fantastic Oklahoma story for you today. I'm talking with the owner of Paper Pages Bookstore in Crescent, Oklahoma, Karen Payne. One of the incredible things about the bookish life of Oklahoma is the number of stores like Karen's all over the state. If you head over to okiebookcast.com/bookstores, you can find a list of independent bookstores from all over Oklahoma. I'm updating the list all the time, so let me know if you don't see your favorite store. As I mentioned, my guest, Karen Payne, is the owner of Paper Pages Bookstore in Crescent, Oklahoma. Karen describes herself as a military brat, and she has 4 kids and 2 grandchildren. She's lived in Crescent for 20 years and has had Paper Pages for the last 5 of those. Paper Pages Books is an independent bookstore located right on Main Street in Crescent. That's just a few miles north of Edmond on Highway 74 for you Oklahoma geographers. In addition to books, the store carries lots of gift items and features pastries from a local baker and locally roasted coffee. You know we're going to talk more about that in our conversation. We also talk about the role of the store in the community, Karen's commitment to supporting local vendors and authors, and the joys and challenges of owning a store in a smaller community. By the time we're done, I guarantee you're going to want to jump in the car and check out the store.
Well, I'm really excited to be in Crescent, Oklahoma. I'm sitting at the coolest little coffee bar you can possibly imagine at Paper Pages Bookstore, hanging out today with Karen Payne, the owner, and really excited to be here. So, Karen, thanks for being on the Oki Bookcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited, too.
Well, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit of just your story and get us to what made you want to open a bookstore.
Well, when I decided I wanted to open my own business, I didn't know exactly what that was. So I kind of started doing some research and did some kind of like quizzes, you know, to kind of see what I would be good at. And I didn't know what I would be good at because I don't feel like I'm really good at anything. But one thing kept popping back up, and that was just books. And my husband had made the comment a couple times, man, you could open your own bookstore with all these books we have at the house. He's always complaining about my books. Some of you might relate to that. So anyway, I kind of feel like it was a destined kind of thing, it was a calling of sorts, and the universe thought I needed to open a bookstore.
So you've always been a big reader, I'm taking it.
Yes, always a big reader from a very young age. I'm a military brat, so we did a lot of traveling. We didn't live in places very long. So books were my go-to.
So were there particular kinds of books when you were little that you carried with you?
Of course. I mean, I liked some of the, you know, I really liked the classic, like Anna Green Gables was always a favorite. I was horse crazy. So anything that had a horse in it, I was reading it. And I did tend to read a lot of fantasy stuff too.
Fast forward, you were trying to decide about a business. You decided that a bookstore was the way to go. Tell us about how Paper Pages got started.
Okay, so after I decided what I wanted to do, then the next step was like finding a location. And in Crescent here, this building that we're currently located in had been vacant for a long time. So it had been for sale, been vacant. It was, you know, not really looking like it was in the best shape. It was kind of falling apart a little bit. And I always, you know, love the outside of it, the character of the building. So, you know, of course, I talked to my husband about it, and he was like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? That building? Because it really was in pretty bad shape. So we went ahead and called on it, and we came in and toured, and it looked worse on the inside than it did on the outside. So I, you know, was kind of questioning myself too. But we got a really great deal on it. And you know how you just open the door sometimes and you just feel home?
Yeah.
That's just kind of how it was. I just knew it was the spot.
How long from when you first got it? Because I'm looking around as we're talking, and this place is so cool. It's beautiful. It is incredibly well put together. So obviously, a lot of time, a lot of attention, a lot of work went into making the store what it is. How long was it from the time that you signed that document to being able to open?
I want to say about a year and a half.
Okay, wow.
It was about a year and a half because we did most of the work ourselves.
Wow.
My husband's real handy. And So he did most of it all himself. So it was a long time.
So a lot of learning as you went, that I can imagine.
A lot of learning. Yeah. A lot of learning, a lot of input from the community.
That's cool.
We had lots of late night stopper buyers as we would be up here, you know, burning the midnight oil. We'd have people come in and make suggestions and give us advice.
That's cool.
So it's kind of like a community project
Cool. Very cool. So now you have people who can walk in and point to things and say, that was my idea.
Kind of.
So you didn't take all of the suggestions that came along.
Well, you know, I'm pretty, once I get my mind set on something, it's pretty much going to happen that way.
So tell us a little bit about the store. You opened in 2018. Mm-hmm. Tell us about Paper Pages Now.
So we kind of did it in phases. So when we first opened in 2018, we just sold books, basically. That was the only thing we had. Then we later gradually added toys and kind of some sideline stuff, which is like bookish things like bookmarks and book lights and that kind of thing. And then we always knew we wanted to have coffee and pastries, but that didn't come along until much later. We did it in phases, I guess you would say. So the coffee and pastries was the last phase.
What kind of marked that you were ready to make that jump?
Probably just we felt like we kind of had the other thing under control. We kind of felt like we had a handle on it a little bit. More like our feet were wet and we kind of knew a little bit what we're doing. I mean, I still don't know what I'm doing, but I kind of thought I knew a little bit. So then I thought we were ready to maybe introduce the next phase.
And how long ago was that?
So that would have been in about October of last year.
Okay. So it's a pretty recent. Yeah. But it's gone well.
It's gone really well.
That's great. How do you get your pastries? Do you cook them or do you have somebody who does it for you?
Oh, gosh, no. You don't want to eat my pastries. No, these pastries are beautiful and they're delicious. And they come from Quincy Bake Shop, which is located in the Bradford House.
Okay.
Are you familiar?
I am, yeah.
Yeah. So Trisha is the pastry chef there, and she's fantastic. So I knew I didn't want to do like frozen or food service type thing. I wanted something that was really, really good. And so that's how we found Trisha and the Quincy Bake Shop.
That's great.
So she makes them fresh there. All handmade, made from scratch. And they're beautiful. They look like a magazine picture and they taste just as good as they look.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. That brings me to another, because you have gifts and lots of other kinds of things in the store besides books, like you've mentioned. So you get your pastries from local vendors. Do you have other local vendors that you work with for different things that you sell in the store?
Yes. One thing we love about our store is that we do have a good opportunity to support local other businesses, small businesses that may not have a brick and mortar. So we're real proud about our coffee, too. It's made by Rural Route Coffee Roasters. And Josh Bug, he lives here in Crescent.
Okay.
And he has the coolest story. You should Google him if you can. Google Rural Route Coffee Roasters. So he's just a guy who felt like Starbucks coffee's always burnt. And he thought he, you know, couldn't be that hard to roast coffee beans. So he mailed off for coffee beans. And now he's like in several different locations. But we were his first.
Cool.
And so we sell that. As a cup of coffee, you can come in and buy, or you can buy the coffee to take home with you in a bag or a K-cup.
All right. And we will make sure and link to what we can find about Rural Route Coffee, which is not easy to say, by the way.
No, it's not.
So you can go to the show notes and find out more about Josh and his work with coffee. Tell me about some of the other local vendors that contribute to your shop.
We have D&S Designs. They make cups, so they can put logos on them, or they can custom them. They also make some really great bookish cups if you're into bookstores, which I assume you are if you're listening to this
if you're
podcast.
Listening to here, you probably got to pay for bookstores.
And then we have Kelsey's Pens. She makes really fun, sparkly, glittery pens that write fantastic. And then we have Serendipity Pottery. She's located in Cashin, and she is a local potter. And we've actually teamed up to come up with a subscription box. It's called Pages in Pots, and you can find the link on my Facebook page. But also on her Facebook page, which is Serendipity Pottery, we have a spring box that's going to ship out on March 28th. And the theme for our spring box was, let's do Paris in spring. And so we're kind of taking you to France. You can have a choice of a book option out of four choices. We have different genres represented. And then we put some fun surprises in there with a surprise piece of beautiful handmade pottery.
And we'll make sure that the links to all those vendors are in the show notes, so you can go find out more about the pottery and the pens and the cups and other things that that we've talked about. So when you look around the store, Karen, how is this store a reflection of you and your personality?
It's very eclectic, which I would say I'm pretty eclectic. And when I see something I love, I get it. So I'd say it would definitely probably be a reflection of me, in that you can, things in here reflect me.
Okay.
Yeah.
And again, folks, I would encourage you, I'm going to take some pictures and we'll post them to the website. As you look around, I'm looking right now at a giant plush dinosaur next to a giant plush giraffe, next to bookmarks and books and lots of different kinds of things. So eclectic is it's a pretty good description of what's going on in here, with lots of toys, I see t-shirts and lots of other kinds of things. So it's something for everybody, I think would be a safe way to say that. So you've been around for 5-ish years now. What's been the biggest surprise?
I think I had it romanticized a little bit before I opened a bookstore. And not that I think I was really naive. I mean, I knew it would be a lot of work. Of course, owning your own business is going to be a lot of work. But it's definitely not a place where I can come and read all day. Which, I get that comment from a lot of customers. They're like, oh, this is the best job in the world. I bet you can just read all day and drink coffee and eat pastries.
That does sound like a pretty good gig.
I mean, it really does. Sign me up for that job. But that's not what the reality of it is. So that's probably been, I probably do less reading now as a bookstore owner than I did pre-bookstore owner. But that's still a lot of reading.
Sure.
Just not as much as I used to. So that was a big surprise, I think.
Have there been any big pleasant surprises?
Just the outpouring of support from book readers.
Cool.
I knew the book reading world was huge, but as big as it is, it's also a small community.
Yeah.
In that it's just so supportive. And I think it's really underestimated how many people love a book.
Right.
When we were working on building and doing all the construction, people would say, a bookstore? Really? Do people even still read? I mean, that's seriously,
sure.
People were questioning our sanity of opening a bookstore. But I knew that as much as I'm passionate about books, that other people would be just as passionate. And it's proven to be true.
Because that's such a narrative, right? That people don't read anymore.
They
consume media in different ways.
Uh-huh.
But I am shocked, like you, the more that I do this, the more I hear people talking about, oh, I've read that, or I can't wait to read that. There's still such a reading culture. It just almost feels underground now.
Yeah. I mean, it's huge, because we have people that come from all over the state.
Really?
Because they love bookstores. And there's something about browsing in a bookstore that you just can't do. And it's still very convenient to shop locally, but there's a misunderstanding that more people are doing that than going to bookstores.
Yeah.
So that's a big surprise, but not really.
Well, and one of the things that's really cool about Oklahoma is we seem to have a ton of stores like this.
Uh-huh.
Do you have relationships with some of the other bookstore owners in the state?
Yeah, absolutely. And we really do have fantastic bookstores in Oklahoma. Tulsa has a whole bunch of great bookstores. Yeah, they're all over. And it's not hard to find them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the things that I think is interesting about the way that Oklahoma does it is there are so many stores like yours that are in smaller communities. Mm-hmm. It's not, again, somebody says a bookstore in Crescent, Oklahoma. In fact, that was my reaction the first time somebody told me that this was here, because it does feel like a little bit counterintuitive to have a retail space like this in a fairly small town. Talk a little bit about just the challenges and maybe some of the unique opportunities of being a bookstore in a rural community.
Well, Crescent sounds like it's, you know, kind of an island off by itself somewhere, but we are really in a great location because there's not any bookstores really near us. Mm-hmm. And so we get customers from Enid. We have them from Guthrie, from Cashin, Hennessy, all these small communities that surround us. We really service all of those areas, as well as we still have a lot of people from Edmond too, because it's kind of fun to come to a small town and shop down a small main street.
Sure.
So we still have a lot of that. As far as like challenges, I guess it would be like just trying to stay fresh and relative.
Shifting gears a little bit, one of the things that seems to be true of having a store like this in a smaller community is the ability for the store to be a part of the community. Talk a little bit about just the role of your shop in the broader context of Crescent.
So one reason I went with opening a bookstore in our small community is because there's not a whole lot of stuff to do. I mean, there's like, of course, we have our celebrations and we have our small events, but just on a regular like Wednesday night or what have you, there's not a lot going on in Crescent, Oklahoma. So I thought, man, it'd be great if I could come up with something that would have something for everyone, male, female, kids, adults, all ages, but also something that would provide an outlet for things to do.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely the role of our shop in the community would be, number one, we want to really promote literacy and mm-hmm. the love of reading. And that starts at a young age, I think. But you can draw people in at any age to do that. My kids are a perfect example. So definitely just providing that joy of reading. And to do that, we can offer events. Like we've even had a little mini donkey up here at the bookstore when Wonky Donkey books came out.
Gotcha.
And so kids could come and pet the donkey and he could, you know, autograph their Wonky Donkey book. And so we do different events like that. We have story time, we have book clubs, and that provides things for people to do. But also as new people move into our community, it's a great way to meet their neighbors and meet other people. And It's been great.
Talk a little bit about the book clubs.
Okay, so book clubs. Don't get me started. I could talk all day long about our book clubs. They are so much fun. The people that are in the book clubs, they're just wonderful people. We have right now four. So we have two book and wine clubs, the second Sunday of every month. And they kind of read a variety of different books. They don't have a certain genre that they stick to. But then we do have a fantasy, sci-fi, dystopian group that meets the second Saturday of every month. They meet in the evening. So they read, of course, just those kind of books. And then we also have one, it's called the Lollybrock Reading Club, and it's specific to Outlander. So we have several of those, and we have a gardening club and a cookbook club.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we have lots of clubs.
So do those groups meet here, or do they meet somewhere else in town?
So the majority of them meet here.
Okay.
And then the Lollybrock Reading Book Club, we meet at different people's house. And as well as we kind of have field trips, I guess you could say, where we'll meet at a different place. And then the other ones pretty much meet here. The Gardening Club, we're going to meet at Sharp Realty. They have a really cute kind of meeting room.
Okay.
That's got a lot more space than I do. We usually have a big turnout for that group.
Okay.
So it's a Langston professor who comes and she does like a class and you actually get like a certification after you complete, kind of like a master gardener type thing. So that's real fun. Yeah.
That's very cool.
You should join one of our book clubs.
It's a little bit of a drive, but I'd be willing to do it.
Hey, we've got people from Yukon, Norman.
Oh, see?
It's once a month.
I could carpool from Norman with somebody. That's perfect.
Perfect.
One of the ways I found out about your store was from a conversation that I had just a couple of weeks ago with Nick Lyon, who is an author who teaches here in Crescent and who had his book signing here at your store. You can go back. Actually, it's chapter 37. It's the previous episode if you want to hear Nick talk a little bit more about the store. But I'm interested just to hear you talk a little bit about your relationship with local authors, independent authors. What does that relationship look like for you?
So we love Nick Lyon. I call him Mr. Lyon because he is a teacher at our right. school here. And his book, The Baptist Bootlegger, we keep it in stock. So please come and pick up a copy. You will love it. It's the best book. But his book signing was so much fun. So we had a packed house, had to order an additional 30-something books, which he was so kind to come up and sign them for me. And I think actually I only have, I'm getting ready to have to reorder some more of those.
I think I just saw one on the shelf when I was walking.
Yeah, they really fly. Again, it's back to that community support. It's really big here. Yeah. But I love to support local authors. It's so important. If we didn't have authors, we wouldn't have bookstores.
That's true.
We wouldn't have books. So we absolutely need to support our local authors. And I support local authors of all different genres of books, and I'm happy to have their book on my shelf. So if you're a local author and you want to have a book signing here or you want to put your book on your shelf, then just get in touch with me because I'm cheering y'all on really big here.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. And again, we'll make sure that all that's linked up so folks can find you help you help them get their books out into the world. That's a great perspective. It's a good transition because one of the challenges as I talk with local bookstores and independent bookstore owners is figuring out what to keep on the shelves. So you don't have as much space as some large retail stores do. Talk a little bit about your process of curation. How do you go about deciding what to keep on the shelf?
I think if I had a giant skyscraper building, I still would not have enough space for all the books I want to keep on stock. So it is a dilemma because the worst thing you want to tell someone when they come in and they say, "Do you have such and such book?" is to have to say no. You just feel horribly sure. like you've just disappointed the, you know, in the biggest way, your shopper. So anyway, I guess how I curate my shelves is just, I really have my memory is terrible, but when it comes to knowing what people are reading, like what Joe's reading, what Stephanie's reading, for some reason, the way that my mind works, I know I can retain that information. I can't remember what I went to the grocery store for, but I can remember who's reading what authors, what book series, and that kind of thing. So we're a bookstore for our community, and that's how I curate my shelves, is I keep up with what books people are reading in town and my other customers, and I make sure that if I see, you know, Stephanie's favorite authors getting ready to release a book, I make sure I have it for her because I know she's going to want it. Right, Stephanie? so that's it. And also there's a little bit of me in it too. Like I look for books that appeal to me. But you can't do that with all your books, sure. of course, because there's so many different interests, but that does go into it also. And a little bit of reading like Publishers Weekly. They send out a list of what's the best-selling books are. So you kind of, that whole combination
sure.
kind of influences how you do that.
Is there a particular genre focus that you have, or is it more general, focusing on your readers and your shoppers?
It's probably more general, focusing on readers and shoppers. But I can tell you the books we sell the most of right now are probably mystery thrillers. Fantasy's huge right now, so we're starting to grow our fantasy section. Hopefully it's better stocked than it has been in the past. And then we also do probably a lot of historical fiction and then a lot of local stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you also have a huge kids section. I'm looking back over my shoulder at a whole wall of kids books.
Yeah, you got to get your kids in books young.
Yes.
So we love our kids books.
That's great. Well, before we get to final questions, what's next for the shop? So you've evolved from books to books and gifts to books and gifts and coffee and pastry. Is there a next step? What does the future look like for Paper Pages?
Well, so I'm glad that you asked that question because, you know, we're a small bookstore with a small budget. So we've been slowly growing as we can. And right now we are building a website. It's going to be great. You're going to be able to search a title. And if I don't have it in stock, you can order it and it will ship to you from our warehouse, and you'll get it very quick. So that's going to be a great thing to have us on there. Also, we'll have all our local events on there, our local authors, book signings, that kind of thing. So we're super, super excited for, you know, we're so blessed that we have so many out-of-state customers. Again, it's the book community is just, it's crazy how it works, but book readers will find you, and they have found us. Yeah. And so some of my best customers are in Tennessee. Wow. I have some in North Dakota. I mean, just all over the place. I think I shipped something out the other day. Actually went to Alaska.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. How fun is that to That's be shipping cool. a book to Alaska? Really cool. So the website will be handy to have for our out-of-state customers.
Do you have a timeline for that coming online?
I'm thinking within no later than the end of April.
Okay.
Hopefully before that. But, it's really close. We're just kind of tweaking it.
That's great.
Yeah.
Good deal.
Yeah.
And what's the URL for that going to be?
Paper Pages Bookstore.
All right. Well, let's shift gears and get into our final questions. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready, I think.
Okay. So first question, what's a genre that you love to read? And give us a couple of recommendations for authors or books.
So I really am broad in my reading.
Okay.
I like to read everything. I would say lately, because it kind of changes. Are
right.
you that kind of reader?
Absolutely.
Where you go through kind of phases?
Absolutely.
So right now I'm in the mystery thriller and historical fiction phase. So I kind of go between those two things. Recently, our book club read Verity by Colleen Hoover.
Okay.
So for whatever reason, I was avoiding getting on the Colleen Hoover train. I don't know what that block was, but I just, you know, put the brakes on for, I don't know why. So the book club picked Verity by Colleen Hoover and we read it. And oh my gosh, y'all, that is a page turner. And it was, we had this discussion about it because it's kind of dark in that a part of the book, there's a mother who's thinking terrible things about her children. And so you feel guilty about liking the book because you're like, what does this say about me that I like this book where this mom is thinking these horrible things? And so it was a great book club discussion as far as what makes you determine what's a good book. Is it the content? Is it because you can't put this book down? What is it? I mean, it was a great discussion. So we ended up voting that as one of our favorite books of the year.
Oh, wow.
So that's a good one that I just read recently. And then another favorite of mine for mystery would be the Finley Donovan books. Those are... some people would call it a cozy mystery, but it's technically not a cozy mystery. It's just that it's a really lighthearted, book. It's a mystery. You will laugh so hard in there. You can, any mom or female can relate to Finley Donovan. And, that's a favorite book series of mine right now. They just had the third book was just released in February. It's really good. All of them are just as good. Historical fiction, I would have to say The Nightingale by Kristen Hannah is a favorite of mine. I love that book so much. I've read it more than once, and I don't do that very often.
Yeah.
I'm not one that rereads a whole lot, but that one I have. And my all-time favorite book is probably Outlander. I brought my
She's got the copy right here in front of us.
Yes, this is a first edition.
Oh, cool.
And I'm such a nutcase over Outlander. So some may know that it was adapted to a TV show. So I have been like traveling around and getting signatures from the actors that are in the show. But that's probably
cool.
My favorite book, which I first read it when I think I was in high school and my mom had it on her shelf on the I'm not allowed to read books shelf. And I snuck in there and read it and loved it. And I've been hooked ever since.
That's cool. I'm going to grab a picture of that. We'll put that on the blog too, because that's pretty cool to have those signatures from the actors.
I think it's cool.
Well, let's get to the second question then. What's an early experience that informed your reading life?
I would just say that's hard to say because I was such a young reader. I've always liked to read. I can't remember a time when I didn't read. I always had, you know, a book or two in my backpack or in my purse, or, you know, if no one could find me, you knew I'd be off in a corner with my nose in the book somewhere.
I can completely relate to not the purse part, but the rest of it I get.
Yeah, so that's kind of a hard question. I really do think, though, that traveling so much, maybe, you know, there's a lot of alone time in that. So I think traveling so much, you kind of go into books.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's great. Last question, then. If you could have a meal with one character from fiction, who would it be and what would you talk about?
It would be Jamie Fraser, of course, from Outlander. What would we talk about? Oh, gosh. Okay. I know I'm sounding like I'm really promoting this book, and I am because it's fantastic. And it has such a bad rep because it's known as a romance book. There is a romance in it, and it probably is my favorite romance couple that I've ever read. But this book is, to me, is all about the history. And there's also a very big kind of fantasy component into it where there's time travel. There's like Master Raymond who can do like healing stuff. So it's a lot to it. It's very layered. And the characters are just super rich. So I would probably talk to Jamie about being a Jacobite and fighting in all the wars. And throughout this series, he actually comes from Scotland to America. And then he meets kind of famous people in history, in American history. So he meets like George Washington, and he meets all these cool revolutionists and stuff like that, which I love all that. So I would probably talk to him about those experiences.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, Karen, this has been great. Tell everybody how they can connect with you and with Paper Pages Online.
Okay, so if you go to our Facebook page, which is Paper Pages Bookstore, we're located in Crescent, Oklahoma. You can inbox me on our Facebook page. We keep that pretty updated of all the social media. That's the one we're probably the most active on because I'm old. And that's the one I can work the easiest. But we're also on Instagram and TikTok. And again, we're just Paper Pages Bookstore. And we'll have our website up soon. So please follow us. Please come see us. Independent Bookstore Day is April 29th. So if you can't come to Crescent, but you can because we're really not that far from anywhere. But if you can't, then find a local independent bookstore and go celebrate them on April 29th. It's a big day for us. It's our 10th anniversary for Independent Bookstore Day. And just really support your local bookstores and all your local businesses and your local authors. Support local.
That's a perfect way to end the conversation. Yeah. Karen, I love this store. Folks, I honestly can't encourage you enough to make the drive out right here on Main Street. You can grab coffee, you can grab something to eat, and then grab just an awesome book or two. Karen, thanks so much. It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks for having me. It has been fun.
As I mentioned in the conversation, I took a bunch of pictures of the store, and you can find those at okiebookcast.com/blog. You'll also be able to find the list of vendors Karen mentioned on the blog and in the show notes. For our review this episode, I'm revisiting one of my favorite books from 2022, Calling for a Blanket Dance by Oscar Hokia, which, by the way, just won the 2023 Penn Hemingway Award for Debut Novel. You'll hear Oscar talk a bit about the novel from our conversation in Chapter 25 of the bookcast from last September, and then my quick review from the September edition of Your Next Great Read. Give us a kind of the big picture of Calling for a Blanket Dance.
Okay, yeah. So the main character is, his name is Everett Gemas Saddle, and the gist of the novel is Everett Gemas Saddle has, you know, he goes over through these different obstacles in his life. And as he faces those adversities, fate kind of knocks him back down. And, but he has family there, and the family kind of helps pick him back up. And the way that the novel is structured, that each of those family members, give him a different type of strength, so that he can continue to fight for himself and his children. And so the you know, like the title of the novel, Calling for a Blanket Dance, and that's the main, I guess, ritual that we're looking at here. So the blanket dance, in essence, is the shape of the novel itself. And so in the blanket dance, we have where if someone in the community is in need, we have where we lay out a blanket on the powwow grounds. The drummer starts singing, and people will come up and offer a little bit, like, you know, $1, $2, whatever they can offer to help this individual out. So the novel has, you know, 12 different narrators. Every chapter is narrated by a different family member. And so in essence, what's happening is that each of Evergima Saddle's family is stepping up to the edge of the blanket, and they're offering something to him to kind of help him continue to struggle and take care of himself, but also to take care of his family.
It's really well done. Oscar told me that it took him 10 years to write it because he was working so hard to make sure that the different voices were distinct, and they are. And the other thing that really strikes me about this book is the attention to detail about the cultural elements. So this idea of culture and family and heritage and identity and what it means to be part of an ancient culture in the modern times. It's really, really interesting. It's got laughs. It's got some pretty emotional moments. Highly recommend it. If you're interested in Native culture, if you're interested in family dynamics, there's just a ton in this book to unpack and enjoy.
That's it for Chapter 38 of the Oki Bookcast. A huge thanks to Karen Payne from Paper Pages Bookstore for hosting me and for the conversation. I also want to take a second and say thanks to all of you who have been so gracious in your support of my new book, God Help Me, I'm a Young Dad. I am honored and humbled by the response so far. If you haven't had a chance to get a copy yet, or this is the first time you're hearing about it, you can find out more and get your copy at okiebookcast.com/youngdad. I'll be back next week with my co-host Hannah Herron for the March edition of Your Next Great Read. You'll want to be sure to tune in for a very special announcement. Until then, go find something good to read.